Well, we always love to hear the children sing, don't we? And I'm thankful for the parents and the grandparents who love their children enough to make sure they're here Sunday afternoons at 5 o'clock for their rehearsals as well. I've listened to some people lately say that, you just got too many programs in your church. I said, what's a program? They said, oh, that would be children's choirs and youth choirs and Awanas and RAs and GAs. And I just hate hearing that, because that's the way we've gotten the Word of God in so many children's lives and teenagers' lives, and we see so many people trust Jesus as your Savior. The best I can tell, it's just a lack of sacrifice and commitment on the part of the people that want to provide that for the children. So I was sitting there just then watching Trevor. Isn't that a blessing? We got a lot of great choir workers here, but I'm going to tell you, if Trevor's generation doesn't pick it up, it's coming to an end. So thank you for all of you who work with our children's choirs, and thank you, Trevor, for sort of carrying on these ministries. Tonight, we'll move very quickly. I've been studying in Hebrews, and tonight we're going to look at Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. You feel better? Okay. Hebrews 10, look at 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Verse 23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You realize that before Jesus was born in Bethlehem and dwelt among us, that people could not really enter into the presence of God, even God's own people. Now, God met with Moses, and also we know that in the Holy of Holies, God would meet with the high priest once a year, as the high priest offered the blood of a firstling of a flock to just cover the sins of the people for another year. Interestingly, the Bible says Moses would go into the tent or tabernacle. Listen to this. The Lord would speak to Moses like friends would speak to one another. Then when Jesus came and offered up His body for that once and all spotless sacrifice, when He breathed His last, it says the veil in the temple, the curtain that separated all of mankind from the Ark of the Covenant, was ripped from top to bottom. Now notice that curtain that covered the Holy of Holies was not ripped by the hands of man. It was torn by God Himself. Did you notice what the Scripture said just a moment ago? It said that that curtain was Jesus' flesh. So now we can go beyond the curtain into the very presence of God. And I don't mean that we can talk to Him in an irreverent way or disrespectful way, but we can talk to Him and pour out our hearts, and He shares with us like a friend. We no longer need a priest. We don't need a mediator to represent us before God. What if I told you that beyond that curtain was everything that we needed for protection and provision? Let me ask you a question. Would you say no thanks? This is the privilege we have of something called prayer. Think about this. The Jews in Old Testament days, they longed to be in the presence of God. Their priest had to represent them before God. But once the veil, the curtain, was torn in the temple, with Jesus' death on the cross, every one of us can enter into the presence of the Almighty God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So many people say, well, I don't have time to pray. God has given you a privilege that people for generations yearn for, to go directly through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, the invitation here. He says in verse 19, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. We have the privilege to enter into the presence of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not based on any of our works, any of our merit. So often today I hear, oh, the way you enter into the presence of the Lord is with praise. That's what brings His presence. No, it's not. The Bible said we enter into His presence with praise and thanksgiving, but I want you to know what gives you access to the presence of God is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not your praise. He says we have boldness. That word means we have liberty. We have courage to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. Then he explains what that means in verse 20. He says we have a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, the flesh. That takes us back to the Old Testament. It takes us back to the tabernacle and the temple. In the tabernacle there were two rooms. There was a room called the Holy Place, and there was a room called the Holy of Holies, and separating those two rooms was the veil. In order to get into the Holy of Holies, you had to enter through the veil. And I want you to know, in order to do that, you had to be a high priest. When you look at all of this, we see that even the high priest would go in and offer the sacrifice, and he would not linger, or he would be struck dead. I don't know about you, but I'm not so sure I would have wanted to be the high priest. God, you sure this is what you want me to do? Think about this. There's a Moabite person that is... He is a foreigner. He is not part of the children of Israel. A Moabite is standing on a high mountain. He looks down and he sees this temple, this tabernacle, and lots of people gathered around. So he makes his way down and walks all the way around the tabernacle. And he walks up to a keeper of the gate, which is a Jew, and he said, "Man, what's going on here?" He said, "Well, this is that time of the year when the high priest sacrifices for our sins." He says, "Well, may I go in?" The Jew says, "No, sir. You're a Moabite." He said, "Well, how can I qualify to go in?" And the Jew says, "You've got to be born again. You've got to be born as a Jew." Moabite says, "I wish I'd have been a Jew. I'd like to go in there and see what's going on." He said, "What's going on?" He said, "Well, when you walk in, you've got the place for the Gentiles. And when you go to the next place, you got the place for the Jews. And when you go past that," he said, "you got the place for the male Jews. And then you're going in where only the priest can go. And then the Holy of Holies, the high priest. Man, I wish I could go in there," said the Moabite. "What's in there? What's in that Holy of Holies?" He said, "Oh, there's a chest in there called the Ark of the Covenant. It contains certain holy memorials of our past. Its top's made of gold. We call the mercy seat because God sits there between the golden cherubim." And then he said to the Moabite, "You see that pillar of cloud up there? That's the Shekinah glory cloud. And I want you to know it comes to rest on the mercy seat." The Moabite says, "I wish I was a priest. I love to go in the Holy of Holies and gaze upon the Lord and worship there." No, says the man at the gate. You can do that even if you were a priest. He said, you'd have to be the high priest of Israel. He said, you'd have had to been born an Israelite from the tribe of Levi, from the family of Aaron. And the gatekeeper looks at him again and shakes his head. He says, even the high priest of Israel can go in there only once a year. And before he goes in, there has to be elaborate preparations. The Levite turns away. He has no hope in all the world of ever entering into that temple and going before the presence of God. Look in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Do you realize how revolutionary that truth is for us? It's understandable that the Lord Jesus should enter the Holy of Holies in heaven. But here's a tremendous word of welcome extended to a Jew and a Gentile to come in and worship, not in the holiest place of the human tabernacle, but he's talking about the Holy of Holies in heaven itself. Go back to Hebrews 10. Provision has been made on the basis of the shed blood. Look at verse 21. It tells us also that we have a high priest over the house of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's gone before us. He's the forerunner. Look at verse 22. He says, let us, that's talking about you and me, born again believers, draw near with a true heart in full assurance. He says, come on in. The way has been opened by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter and look at chapter 1 and just see a couple of verses here. 1 Peter chapter 1. Not only must the blood of Jesus be shed, which it was on the cross of Calvary. Look down in verse 2 of 1 Peter 1, 2. Who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. The Bible teaches that the moment that we trust Jesus as our Savior, we're sprinkled by the blood of Christ on our heart. And because we have here, because of His Jesus bled on the cross, and because that blood sprinkled on our heart, He says that we can enter into the Holy of Holies through our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an invitation. Notice the instruction in verse 23 of Hebrews 10. He said, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. He's talking about our enduring. He's talking about us being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're kept by the power of God, but Jesus also says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. That doesn't mean we are saved by works. But there's one thing I've noticed. A tree always produces fruit. And that fruit is always in what? Harmony with the nature of that tree. Mom and Dad had a peach orchard in our yard when we first moved in our house where they lived for 40 years. We never did get apples off those trees. We always got peaches. Now, the one thing I've noticed about people who say they're born again, I think the ones who've truly had a born again experience, the Bible says you'll know them by what? By their fruit. Now, people say, we look at this and say, well, I'm supposed to endure. No, your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that holds us. But he says in Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into the veil. Delaney and I have never taken a cruise before. She knows how to swim. I don't. I can do the best Olympic dog paddle you've ever seen in your whole life. She doesn't want to get on a ship because she thinks it's going to sink. Well, she can swim. I can't. I'm worth a lot more dead than alive. I'm surprised she hadn't booked us right near the bow of a ship. Maybe I'd be swept away. I was watching on TV a few weeks ago when that ship was headed down the East Coast. Did y'all see that? And encountered 150-mile-an-hour winds. I don't know about you. I want my money back. And I don't want another trip on that cruise line. I don't know who they were, but I don't want to go with them. But I tell you what, when a ship gets in a storm, the one thing that gives them hope is when they cast the anchor. And I want you to know we have an anchor that holds, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice here it says that we're to be faithful, we're to endure without wavering. I remember back when we were in our first church, we went to the beach with another couple in our church, and we rented a little house on Edisto Island. We heard on the news there was a hurricane coming in 2 days. So Delane and the other couple, she was a counselor, he was a soybean farmer. Delane and Quincy decided they wanted to stay through the hurricane because they'd seen them on TV. Wanted to see what it was like to have that experience. Well, the day before the hurricane, we drove over to Charleston, and the water was coming over the battery. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Never seen the Atlantic Ocean look that angry. We were on a house there on the coast. It was required to be built on stilts. Let me tell you how old it was. It was sided with asbestos siding. We had the windows open. The water was coming through the windows. And Delaney said, well, Quincy and I are staying. I said, well, Margaret and I are going to have a hard time explaining to the church and to your mom and daddy why we were at a motel 90 miles inland when you and Quincy got washed away, never to be seen again. Finally, we talked them in the day before the hurricane. Let's load up. Now, I'll never forget how strong the wind was. I mean, as soon as you went down the steps, it would just blow the luggage right out of your hands. I never seen anything like it. And you could literally lean into that wind and it would blow you back. That's what he's talking about here, without wavering. He says, don't lean into your old ways that you practiced before you trusted Jesus as your Savior. He says, don't waver. He says, endure. You ought to live for Christ. You know, I think back on what my life was before Christ. You know, I was 21 years old before I got saved. God could have allowed me to be killed in a wreck, and I could have spent eternity in hell. You ever think about that? How many of you like leftovers? I love leftovers. We got some friends that they won't ever eat leftovers. What a waste. My mom would buy big package of ground beef. And Mom only went to the store once every 2 weeks. That was it. Do you know how many different ways you can have ground beef? Friday nights was hot dog night. And we used to fuss and fight. Do you all remember when they sold hot dogs in the 12-pack? And they had 5 cat's eye marbles in the end of the package. Did y'all ever see that? Man, we'd fight over those marbles when we got them home. Hot dog night Friday night. Hamburger night Saturday night. But guess what would happen on Monday? We had goulash. Do y'all know what goulash is? That's the Italian name for hamburger, but it's scrambled like eggs. And I remember the little hot dog packages, you know, if we gave out of buns, you just ate a naked dog. That's all you did. That's all I can tell you. And then hamburger buns, they didn't come with so many to a pack, but when we had goulash, we'd have to have that on Monday nights on light bread. Do you know what light bread is? Brown bread is bad for you. It tastes terrible. Light bread's good for you. You know, when we go through crisis in life, it seems like God gives us the leftovers. You ever have that happen to you? Listen to me carefully. He's actually given you something good. He knows how to take a difficult situation and work something together in such a way we're left in amazement at the outcome. Now, the last thing I want to share with you tonight is about the inspiration. He said, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and deeds. Through verse 23, he says, consider Jesus. In verse 24 and 25, he said, consider other believers. Encourage one another. Get your eyes on other people and encourage them. You know, if children's ministry, youth ministry, or music ministry ever becomes inward focused, they're doomed. You see, the reason we exist is for outreach. But here he says that the believers, he says, believers need to do what? We need to encourage one another. We get out our smartphones. We get out our tablets. I have a smart pad. And we scroll where we're going to church. Let's see who's preaching. Well, if that person's preaching, I'm not going. We scroll on there and see the music. Well, this isn't the kind of music I want. Let's keep looking around on some more web pages to see where we're going. We have a lot of window shoppers and tire kickers when it comes to people coming to worship services now. You know what's going to surprise people when we get to heaven? And this is what I believe. I can't give you the text for it. I think Jesus is going to pick the music. And you know what? There's going to be some people complaining. This verse of Scripture sets forth the importance of encouraging one another. He says, look down here, he says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know what I found when I studied this? If you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and you look at verse 1, Paul said, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. Let me tell you something. The same word that is used in the Greek text that talks about gathering together, being caught up to be with the Lord in the air, is the same word in the Hebrew text that says, forsake not the gathering of the saints together in a church. Wonder why there's so many empty seats. Because our worship service is supposed to be a dress rehearsal for when Jesus comes again. Somebody sent me a YouTube video last week. Now, I can't remember when I've seen a YouTube video, but it's Fred Barr's favorite video of a church service. Thing lasts about 2 minutes. Man gets up to sing, place is packed. Men start running through the aisles. I mean, they're running. There were several guys that jumped pews. Then they started running around the singer behind the pulpit. I thought, what is this? And then all of a sudden a man ran through here, jumped up there on the top row of the choir, and dove into the baptismal pool and baptized himself. There's still people running all up and down the aisle. Then a man comes down the center aisle, takes off his sport coat, slings it around and throws it and lands right on the preacher's head. And the man's attempting to sing about what it's going to be like when we go to heaven. I never seen anything like it. But ladies and gentlemen, I've been in some dead services where you could ice skate down the center aisle. He says here, forsake not the gathering of the saints together. Somebody has written that excuse is the skin of a reason stuffed full of a lie. Sounds like sausage to me. Some friends were telling me not too long ago, they've got some friends they're trying to get to come to church, and the husband is saying, well, we're saved. Used to be active in a church, but said, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And you know what? That's right. Let me tell you something else. You don't have to go home to be married. Are you with me here? You got married one day, and it would probably be a good idea if the spouse is the person you love that you do what? Probably ought to go see them about once a week. I think you ought to do that, don't you? It will enhance, especially around Valentine's Day. That'll help you out. The bottom line for a lot of people right now, and maybe they're born again, is just plain laziness. How long does it take to get your posterior in the shower or take a bath and just put on some clean clothes of some sort? And I'm preaching to the choir right here because y'all are faithful, and most of y'all, I see you here on Wednesday nights too. But how hard is it to come together? Your very presence around other people is an encouragement for them to live for Jesus. I don't know as much as what goes on people's personal lives as I did when I was in a small church. I didn't attempt to find out what was going on in their lives. I just knew. You know, I can stand up here on any Sunday morning. I've got a lady right over here. Her child died last year. Wonder what it feels like to bury a child? I have no idea. I go over here and I know somebody's been through a horrible divorce. And I can go over here and I see somebody out here that was diagnosed in the last 10 days with cancer. And I go over here and I see somebody whose business has gone belly up. You may not believe this, but your very presence as you come together for worship is an encouragement for those people to live for Christ. I remember when Magnavox, back in the 1990s, put out PIP. Do y'all remember that? Picture in picture on a television set. Now, Delaney and I bought one, brought it home, and then hired somebody to come over and install it. And I think this was the first time we ever had remote control. We always had to turn the channel. And the beautiful thing about picture in picture is you could have the Hallmark channel on the 19-inch screen and then the football game up here in a little picture about that big that men had to use a magnifying glass to see. But that was the coolest thing in the whole wide world. Our problem was that when we could finally work it, I'd hit something and it'd make Hallmark go to the little thing, and the ball game would go here, and we wouldn't know how to get it back. And then we'd have a blank screen. We'd have to call somebody to help us. Listen to me carefully. When you come to worship, that's the picture in picture. That's where you read and study the Word of God. That's where you learn spiritual truths. That's where you learn spiritual songs. And the big picture is the life you live out here, applying everything you learned in the picture in picture. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more faithful we ought to be to Christ. Will you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.